Welcome to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. Today we've got an amazing message of hope and healing just for you. God's word never returns to him void, so let this message sink deep into your heart so that you can walk out your complete healing journey today.
Well, hello, Healing Journeys Today.
Hey, family, how are we doing today? We are so excited that you're here with us. Please enjoy all the teaching on Healing Journeys Today. Share these videos if you can. I'm Butch Hartman. This is Julianne Hartman. Hello, Julianne Hartman.
Hello, Butch.
And we are Heartbeat. We're here talking about marriage and relationships. Yep. And if you've got a relationship out there, if you're married, or if you want to have a relationship, you know, the Lord created us to have fellowship with each other. So it really would be great if we could learn how to work our relationships better. You and I certainly are not perfect, but we've been married for 29 years and we know a lot about relationships. Hey, so anyway, our title is Who's Watching the Kids? Because we figured, look, it's time to begin talking about children in a relationship and parenting, because Julianne and I have been parents now. Our first daughter was born in 1995. We were married in 92. Our first daughter was born in 95. Our second daughter was born in 1997. So we have two daughters. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. They're amazing. And let us know if you have children. And if you do have children, is it easy? Is it harder than you thought? I know it's not
easy. Hey, if it's really easy, and we have amazing kids, if it's easy, gosh, let us know.
Yeah, amen.
Because definitely we want to hear from you too, because, and I'm not saying that this was really hard, like the hardest thing to do, not at all. But if you're going to be a parent in this day and age, you got to be helicopter parents big time.
Well, it's unfortunate you do. In fact, I think a lot of the reason we're in the situation we're in right now is because a lot of parents weren't helicopter parents. And by the way, you don't have to be a helicopter parent in a annoying, overbearing way either. It's not the sense that you're going out and just you're on your kids every second of the day. That's just not healthy for anybody. Not healthy for you. It's not healthy for them. However, you should know what your kids are doing at all times.
At all times.
And they should know that that you know what they're doing at all times.
Yes, and also you need to decide on what age. Like a lot of times people will say, oh, well, you know, my daughter's 13 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, does that mean that they know everything? Does that mean that that's when you just let them go? Because, you know, like, well, they're the oldest and they're very mature. No, mm-hmm. No. And I'm okay. Just to let you all know, I'm very passionate about this subject.
Really?
Yes. So I definitely am going to raise my voice a few times.
About parenting?
About parenting.
Okay, got it.
So just get prepared.
Before she gets started, though.
Because I am passionate. I'm not yelling at anybody.
Right. But before she gets going about this, the reason we are, and we're both passionate about this. We just express our passion in different ways.
You draw your passion.
That's right.
I scream it.
That's right. But the thing about children, they're the most precious gift from the Lord that you could possibly ever get.
Yes.
And I understand it's easy to want to put our needs sometimes before the kids, meaning this, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm tired, but my kid wants to go out and play. My kid wants to go to the mall. My kid wants to go and collect frogs or whatever it is. My daughter used to want to go and collect frogs for no reason. And the last thing on planet Earth I wanted to go do was collect the frogs. But I found it within myself, because I knew I had to do this, because I prayed about it. And the Lord's like, you need to go collect frogs with that girl. It'll mean nothing to you now, but it'll mean everything to you later. You need to spend those magic moments with your kids, because you don't get those moments back.
Oh.
The time never comes back. If someone out there can figure out a way to have the time come back, you'll be a very rich person. And,
well,
and I will take some of that time from you.
Why doesn't Tesla do it? Because he's kind of inventing everything else.
Well, the real Tesla is dead. You mean Elon Musk?
I mean, sorry.
The owner of Tesla.
The owner of Tesla.
Yes. Tesla could do it.
Why not? He's got my vote. But no, we have not gotten back the time. And you know, I'll tell you something. I'm going to tell a little story that is very cute and very endearing, but it really did mean a lot. So our girls were in piano. They were little.
Yep.
We started them in piano when they were like two.
They weren't living in a piano they were taking.
No. Yeah. But anyway, and the reason why is because the study that they did at this piano studio here in Sherman Oaks, I don't think it's there anymore, but they did a study on how kids would just really do well in math when they have learned like about keys and all that kind of stuff. And
piano knowledge really enhanced math skills, we were told.
Yeah, so, and it did. Both of us girls are really good in math.
It's amazing too.
Yeah. So anyway, so there was one of their recitals. It wasn't their first recital, but it was maybe like a third or fourth. So anyway, so they would do two a year. Well, Butch had to go to an event in, I think it was Aspen, right?
Yeah, Colorado.
Yeah, so he had to do an event, which he was only gone like 2 days.
I was gone like 2 days, yes. Yeah. And you were here with the girls.
And I was here with the girls.
But they had a recital.
There was a recital. And so Butch was like, well, I can't miss the recital. And even though our girls do not remember that recital to this day.
They were very little. They were four and five.
Four and six. I believe that, see, all those little things, by the way, I kind of got ahead of myself.
You didn't tell what happened at the recital. Yeah.
What happened was, is that Butch did everything he could to get home from Aspen. I think you got up at 4 a.m.
Well, the recital was the recital was like 11 in the morning.
Yes.
I had been out late with everybody the night before.
It was a business thing, a work thing.
Yeah. And what it meant was getting on an airplane at 5 in the morning from Aspen. And flying home to California and landing at Burbank and then being here by 10 in the morning. And
to be at that recital by 11.
Yeah.
So that the girls would never remember it. But what I love, though, is that no matter what age they were, whatever they were doing, whether it was a play at school, a piano recital, you know, a game, whatever it was, they knew when they looked down to the audience, their dad and their mom.
And their mom. You were there at everything.
Yes, at everything.
This isn't just about weekend. Right. Yeah, you were there.
I'm saying that their mom and dad were in that audience being there so that our girls never had insecurity.
Yeah, and the reason we say this, guys, is to just let you know that it's not to tout like, oh my gosh, we're the best parents ever, because we have so much to learn still. And you never stop being a parent. Once you have your children, even though they're in their mid-20s and can totally take care of themselves now, we're still their parents. But we want to set good examples for them in every single way. Yeah. I want them to know that when they have kids, it's very vital that, and I'm not saying you got to be at every single thing your kids do, but it'd be nice if you were. If there's no good excuse, if it's just because you're tired or if it's just because you don't feel like it, that's not a good excuse. If you're out of town, if you're overseas in the army or something, there's excuses. However, if you can get there, you should be there, because it comes down to this. It's not about us. It's about them. And that's a very simple tenet and lesson of Christ. It's got to come down to others as opposed to yourself. And having children will teach you how to sacrifice. You know, it's interesting. When you have kids, you learn how to sacrifice. I'm not saying you don't make sacrifices if you don't have kids. Usually you do.
Is it a different way?
But when you have children and you have to put them before you, when their needs come before yours, you know, if you want to go out with the boys, or if you want to go out to dinner with your friends, or maybe just go to some kind of a game or an event, yet your daughter needs you, your son needs you, or whatever, or even your nephew or your niece needs you, you need to learn that their needs have to come before yours. You know, there was a man who taught some church service years ago. We were at, he said, I'm third. You walk into my office, there's a plaque that says, I'm third. It's Jesus first, others, and then me.
Yeah.
And that really is what it should be. We should be third in line for everything. Christ first. And by the way, the great thing about Christ is when you put him first, he's always going to put you first anyway.
Gosh.
Yeah, the Bible says, he who humbles himself will be exalted. When you humble yourself before the Lord, he's going to exalt you, even if you don't want to be exalted.
Yeah.
And so that's the great thing. But having kids, let's go back for a second.
So I'm saying that really helps the confidence of the child. Again, they may not remember it, but I really believe that was the steps in creating the DNA of each one of them, of who they were going to be when they got older. I mean, what was interesting is just now our daughter's 26. She lives in Tennessee, and she had a conference on Saturday.
Well, she put on her own conference.
Right. But what I'm saying is that was the first time that we weren't at something that she did.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. No, she planned it 2 weeks in advance. And I'm like, girl, to get your parents there, you have to give us more than 2 weeks notice.
We just couldn't.
And she knew that. But I'm just saying that was the first conference or the first anything that they put on that Sophia or Carly put on that we weren't at. But that's why I'm saying that, you know, I've told you guys this before, I think. Well, our girls were very young, I mean like babies, and I was changing one of them on the bed, and I heard an audible voice say to prepare them for greatness. Mm. And so, and I really didn't even know the Lord back then. I mean, really. And because we became Christians 21 years ago. And so I literally had to go like, who said that? Like, I'm looking around the room going, who said that? Someone said that. Well, as I got more into, you know, understanding the kingdom and understanding my relationship with Jesus, I realized, oh, that was the Lord speaking to me. And that's what he told me. So I told him, I will do that. However, I need your guidance like every day because I don't know how to do that. And lo and behold, he gave us that guidance every day. Yeah, and he still is, because until we hand our kids off to their husbands, they still are, you know, coming to us for advice and all that.
And we'll talk about that as well in the future about when your kids have relationships with other people. That's an interesting topic, but we should definitely do that as a teaching. But going back to having kids, you know, it's interesting. When Julianne and I first got married, we didn't want to have kids. That's kind of one of the reasons we got married to each other. I didn't want to have kids, neither did she. And we went, oh, that's perfect. We won't have any kids. And God had other plans for us because we were about 2 years into our marriage and the Lord said, you're going to have a kid. And we ended up finding out we were pregnant, and Carly came along in September of 1995. And that was just an amazing day. I remember every detail about that day. And I knew that when she arrived, I was going to really, and by the way, you might be going, well, Butch, you were super ready. You were all set. I wasn't ready. You know, by the way, you're never ready to have a child. You might think you're ready. Yeah. I should say that. Some people are more ready than others, that's for sure. Some people have a better financial situation, better living situation. Of course, you're more ready in that sense. But you're somehow mentally you're not that ready because you've never had a child before. Your first one, especially. Yeah, your first one, there's things.
We did have dogs. We thought it was going to be like having a dog.
That sounds pretty harsh.
No, I mean like
really harsh. No. Like having a dog?
No, meaning that, like, no, you know what I mean? Like having the responsibility of, like, okay, we, you know, you got to be home. And you can't, because we were very, very independent people.
We were.
Right? And even before we got married, we were independent of each other.
I used to have a joke. When we got married, we were independent of each other. I used to have a joke. I said, you know, if your dog dies, that's sad. But if you don't take care of your child, then you go to jail. That's a different thing. So, and by the way, Debbie Dooley says, you have 10-year-old triplets. That's amazing. Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Three kids at the same age. Well, you must have some adventure stories there. That's amazing. Are they boys or girls? Or are they all, I guess, identical? Even have fraternal triplets, I guess? Can you?
You know, I don't know. Anything past one, we didn't deal with. And you know what? You are an amazing woman because I could handle one at a time and I could only handle two total.
And by the way, right there, were you ready for three?
Yeah.
You probably weren't. You probably knew they were coming, of course.
What was it like when you went and got your test results?
Yeah.
And the ultrasound showed three.
Oh my gosh.
But so anyway, getting back to having kids. So meaning that we were like such independent people, like we were doing our own thing all the time. And I had a dog and I would be like, oh, I got to go home, you know, to get the dog and to take the dog out and stuff. Well, obviously having kids is a much different situation. I struggled with having a dog, let alone having kids. But what I love is that we had to learn, Butch and I had to learn how to not just, you know, yes, entertain our kids, make sure they're, you know, being fed and taken care of.
Well, yeah, that was important, yeah.
But we also had to learn how to have a relationship as well.
Yeah, we had to learn how to become a family of more than just the two of us. It was like, it became four of us. It meant a different car. That meant a different way of doing life. That meant, you know, certain foods we could or could not have. When you have children, and they're growing up and they're going to kids' birthday parties, you're suddenly having to go to homes
of
people you've never met.
Or actually you're an Uber driver.
You become the taxi for everybody. And then it's weird. You do like the first 7 or 8 years where you're escorting the kids to the parties. But around age 8, you go up to the door and they're like, thanks, you can come back in 3 hours. And then you leave your child there for the party and you're like, wait, we have 3 whole hours? What are we going to do? And you run out and you go and you have fun for 3 hours and you come back and get your kids. But And you do, and you end up making a whole new circle of friends.
You do. Yeah. I know, because Butch and I were actors, and so we did not have, so all of our friends were actors.
And they were all single.
And they were all single. We were the first ones to get married. Mm-hmm. And we were like, and of course, we were the first ones to have kids. So we had, all those friends literally went away.
Mm. Debbie Dooley says she has two boys and a girl fraternal.
Wow.
And then she says, and fighting Lyme, mold, and other health stuff, twins run in my family.
Well, praise God. That's why she is here.
So going back to Debbie, fighting Lyme, mold, and other health stuff. We're so sorry about that, Debbie. But that can be completely.
That's awful.
That can be completely, you know, we can take care of that with prayer.
Remember, that's what they said happened to me, too.
We were told there was a lot of mold in our house as well. We spent over $300,000 combating the mold. And it turned out
it was physically in my body, but also physically in our house.
In our case, it was over exaggerated. And we had to make sure the fear didn't get in. We let a lot of fear get in.
Isn't that crazy? That's what the devil does, though. He over exaggerates.
The enemy will over exaggerate. He's the father of lies. Yes. Exaggerations are lies. So the devil's the father of lies. And he's going to exaggerate to you all the time. I don't know what your situation is exactly, but I know that fear is playing a big part in it, because it always does. And that's not
in
just
every way.
That's just not you. That's everybody.
Yeah, in every way.
So if you try and get that fear out of your mind and out of your spirit, that's a huge, huge thing to do.
Yeah, and you know, also I wanted to talk about this, because I think this is really important with having kids, is that, I mean, moms and dads, not just the mom, but having fear over your children, like something's going to happen to your kids.
Yeah, there's a lot of parents that get very, very fearful, and I completely understand.
Yeah, and I mean, and I'm talking from, you know, as young as a newborn baby, always thinking that something is wrong. And, you know, a lot of times the women goes through a lot of hormonal stuff, which, yeah, I did too. I cried for the first couple weeks, pretty much every day. I'd call him and cry over everything.
Well, with babies or with the mold?
No, with babies.
Babies, yeah. I didn't know what you're talking about. I didn't know what you, well, I was reading some comments here from Debbie.
Okay.
Debbie says she also spent $350,000 in 7 years out of pocket.
Yep, that was ours out of pocket.
And it has
too.
Also, let's see, this is, yes, it's also caused marital issues. Debbie, I'm sorry to hear about that as well.
Hey, it caused some issues with us too.
The enemy wants to separate you and your family. That's what he's trying to do here. And listen, I understand it gets stressful. I understand that sickness is no laughing matter, and it can cause a lot of marital stress.
It's a distractor and a disruptor.
Uh-huh.
That's
and
what it does.
It's almost carbon copy what happened to us. And
except I didn't have triplets.
No, we had two, but not triplets. And ours were 2 years apart, so a little bit different, obviously. Majorly different. Having three children is different. But the marital issues, if both people are on one accord and have teachable spirits, it's all about, also this is about having a teachable spirit. If you're a humble, teachable person, anything is possible. God can do anything with a humble, teachable person. I was not that way at the start. Neither was she. We had to become humble, teachable people. And in order to do that, we had to give ourselves entirely to Jesus. Like Jesus, that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. I used to laugh at that title, Jesus Take the Wheel. But it's actually true. Jesus, you go ahead. You go ahead. You show me where to go. Show me what to do. Now, is Jesus going to come and grab your shoulders and turn you each way every day? Probably not. But you're going to get a knowing in your spirit of what you're supposed to do.
Right.
You're going to feel it. You're going to know it because you've allowed yourself to be run by the Spirit. You know, the Bible says, if you operate in the Spirit, you won't operate in the flesh. You know, if you, how does that scripture go?
Well, no, it,
if you walk in the ways of the, I just heard it today, as a matter of fact, and I'm blanking on it.
Either way, what it is that if you are, it's a positioning of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be in your flesh, then you are going to get a fleshly result, meaning, right, those are your will, your emotions, right, all of that stuff. Your mind, will, and emotions is your flesh. But if you want to walk according to the Spirit, that's a whole different story, because now you're walking on truth. It doesn't mean that you're actually seeing like the result in front of you, but we stand on a promise that God tells us. And that's what we stand on. We don't budge. You know, that's another thing too, is that I just want to go on saying that, you know, so we got to fight for our marriages. What is the one thing that the devil tries to destroy? It's a marriage, because two are strong together, right? So why wouldn't he go after a marriage? Why wouldn't he go after the spouse, you know, to want to be, you know, having sex with somebody else, or, you know, starting a relationship with somebody else, or whatever it might be. You know, of course that's where he would go. Mm-hmm. He would get so disgusting in what he plans on doing, because all his stuff that he does is disgusting and gross. He's not God, he's not good, he's bad. And so that's why you know that he's going to try to go after the marriage. So yes, you got to keep the marriage in a good, healthy place. And there are things to do. There are practical steps to do that. And that's what this whole healing marriages heartbeat ministry is about, is to make sure that you don't let the enemy come in and destroy the marriage. Because look what happens when the marriage gets destroyed. So first of all, two together are strong, right? Mm-hmm. Now it becomes one and one. Now we hate each other, and now our kids are involved, and our kids are now mad at one of the spouses.
Well, also, right? Then you have to divide the kids for different weekends. And we know, look, guys, we know this
And
goes
I know
on.
That happens.
This happens. This is not judgment on anybody. Exactly.
The devastation from that. I mean, my mother was married four times. I understand it.
Four different times.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that it's so destructive, and it really messes with you. If you don't have Christ, which I didn't, because I was not born again for many years until I was in my late 30s. So I didn't know where to turn. All I knew is it's like marriage really didn't have any effect. It's like, eh, big deal. So I get married, so I don't.
I found the scriptures. Romans 8:8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And Galatians 5:16 says, here's the one I was looking for. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Yeah, that's the full. What translation is that?
I don't know which one this is.
I think the New King James is more fulfill the lust of the flesh.
But the lust of the flesh is what? Whatever makes you feel good at the moment. You know, well, I don't feel like doing this right now, but I do feel like doing this right now. Well, you know, that's what animals do. That's what an animal does. An animal gratifies its flesh every moment of the day. An animal sleeps when it's tired. An animal eats when it's hungry. An animal does whatever it does whenever it feels like it. Humans have a different sort of social contract. You know, there's things I feel like doing sometimes, but I won't do them because I'm not supposed to do them. Or, you know, maybe I need to go to sleep, but I'll stay up and work because I know this has to get done. I won't sleep when I want to.
Okay. Both guilty.
There's other things that when it comes to having kids though, everybody, you need to leave this world better than when you found it. And I realized a long time ago when I had my kids that I wanted to make sure I had children that would bless the world. And that was just my own personal decision, personal decision as well. In order to do that, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. When God gave me these children, these girls, I knew that I had to spend a lot of time with them, teach them things. Even if it meant uncomfort for me, if it meant discomfort and maybe I'm tired or maybe I don't feel like doing this, it doesn't matter. It was all about them. I no longer mattered. I mean, I did matter. I was their dad. I got to protect them, and I'm still protecting them, but until we hand them off to another man. But in my world, in my head, I knew that sacrifice was in order. And we're just here to show you, or to at least impart to you, that sacrifice is important when it comes to having kids. What are you placing before your kids right now? Let me just ask you, if you don't have to answer.
Or is there anything?
Yeah. Is there something you're putting in front of your kids right now?
You could change.
That's changeable. Exactly. I mean, look, there's all kinds of circumstances. I understand. Some of us have to work long hours and don't want to. Some of us have living
situations. There's a lot of single moms and single dads out there. That's not what we're talking about.
A lot of living situations that no one can control right now. We understand there are extreme circumstances. But if it's in your power to control the circumstances, and you can, you need to make those children come first. And that's the bottom line.
Also, we live in an area in Los Angeles where, you know, since I was a mom here in this area, you know, that it was more important a lot of times for the moms to be this, you know, socially accepted in all their groups and stuff, you know, and going out with the girls and all that. And I know that is something I never chose to do. I would not do that. I would not take away from my own kids. It's just like, I can meet you for lunch. Like, I don't need to take time away. That was just the way I was. And you were the same way. I'd rather take time out of my lunch and spend time with our kids when they're home from school so we can find out how their day was, you know, who bullied them or who, you know, who was mean, who said this, who said that, you know, who started a fight or whatever it was. So that you could talk those things out with your kids, whether we sat and we laughed about things all night or we sat up because one of them was crying all night, you know, mm-hmm. about something that happened at school. But when you've got your own agenda going on, This is just me. Again, you guys, you can do whatever you want. Please do not feel judgment on this. Yeah. But we're just telling you our story.
What, that's not what this is about. That's
yeah, this is our story. Mm-hmm. Is that I would rather go and spend, and we would rather spend time with our girls than we would out with a bunch of friends that we could not even help their lives, not even that bit, that much. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm going to go after the ones that I can actually help make an impact in their life versus somebody that wants to go out to dinner and talk about themselves all night. I'm sorry. I said it. I mean it. I can't stand that. It drives me crazy. It's like, can we talk about something else besides you? And I'm not going to spend that time, my precious time.
Do all your friends talk about themselves at dinner?
But friends back in the day did. But with my husband, I'd rather go out with him than go out with friends.
When are we going to go out then?
Stop it.
We never get to go out.
We don't. Well, we just go travel for business, and that's our time going out. But I'd rather go spend time with him than I would going out with a bunch of friends that all they talk about is them. They don't even care who, like, what you do. They don't even ask a question like, how are you? I mean, that's it. Or they'll say, how are you? And like, oh, great. And then they tell you about themselves. I don't have time for that. I want to talk to people that we can help and we can impact their lives and help grow them towards the things of God, because that's the only way they're going to grow and be successful in life.
Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, not in the way he wants to go, the way he should go, because in all seriousness, your children are children. You know, both of our daughters, one of them was very needy. One of them was very independent.
Independent, yeah.
And at first, we were a little bit fooled. Like, okay, the needy one really needs us. We need to be hovering over her, because the confident one, she's fine. You know, we didn't like ignore her or anything like that. But when it came to problem solving, or came time for discipline, or, you know, really sitting down and talking and explaining the way things were, we thought, oh, the confident one will just get it. No problem. But then the Lord spoke to you very clearly. And you realize that it was the independent one we had to start spending more time with. And why? Because the independent one, even though they were independent, they were still a child. They had the mind of a kid, and they have a mind that is untested, a mind that is untrained. And whether they're confident or not, that's great, but you need to train their mind in the way they should go.
Well, you know, one thing about that is that, she was not one that was real communicative about like her day. So you'd have to pull
the independent one.
Yeah, you have to pull information out of her. Like, what happened today? Not that it was a bad day, but it'd be like, how was your day? Great. No, like, what happened in your day? And this would go on and on and on. Finally, you know, she would start giving you information about her day, but you had to really pry it out of her, because she wasn't one that wanted to share. Whereas Carly would get in my car and she would just spew. I mean, it would be from, she'd get in the car and be like, all the way 20 miles home.
Our needy one, yeah, she would just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And then the independent one wasn't that open. And so anyway, long story short, we started spending not a lot more time, but we started realizing we needed to begin to spend just as much time with the independent one. And praise the Lord, we did, because not only is she a dream come true as a daughter right now, both our kids are dreams come true.
God.
We're not just saying that because we're their parents. We've had kids that, and you guys aren't going to believe this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, our kids have never talked back to us. We've never had a problem with them.
Never rolled the eyes.
They've never rolled the eyes. They've never, and listen, we were very firm. We weren't super strict where we were mean, but we were very firm. And we were just like, hey, look, we're your parents, not your friends. Yes, we have friendly moments and we can do friend things, but we are your parents.
Yeah.
We're not friends.
Now we're friends.
Well, now we're friends, but we're still parents too.
But because, back then, we were not friends. You cannot be friends with your 10-year-old.
Yeah.
You can't be friends with your 15-year-old.
Someone said, did you remediate your house to get well? That means that we get all the mold taken out of our house. Sort of, because we didn't have any mold. They told us we did and we didn't.
Well, and we did like outside.
So minuscule.
Anyway, it was very small.
It was the amount of mold any house would have normally.
But we still tore up the house because they told us to.
It was done
out of fear. And then talking about that.
We let fear get the best of us. It was fear, fear, fear. It wasn't the mold.
Yeah, and you know, and because of that, when our daughter Sophia started middle school and Carly was in ninth grade. So sixth grade and ninth grade, that's when we started tearing apart our house and we went and lived in a hotel for 10 weeks. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was very hard, very hard, mm-hmm. very hard on the family, very hard on the girls. You know, it's like, imagine you're starting middle school. She'd started a brand new school. She had been at the other one for like, you know, since first grade. Mm-hmm. She was like, you know, as we say, you know, like bell of the ball at that school. And then she gets to a private school that she wanted to go to. And then she doesn't want to be there anymore. And it was pretty much of a mess. So anyway, but we really feel very passionate about this. I will tell you that I was not, and neither was Butch, but I'm going to say for me, I was not the popular mom at all. And a lot of moms, you know, were like, oh, you're too strict. But let me tell you something. We reap the fruit from it every single day, literally every day. You guys have no idea how amazing it is to have relationships with your daughters and as adults now, as friends, where we just enjoy every minute with them. And it's amazing. Mm. So that's it. So here, that's the end point. That's where you want to get to. Some of you that are watching, you've already been there.
My daughter's calling my phone. Sorry about that.
But some of you have already raised your kids. Some of you are in the middle of it. If you're in the middle of it, you can make some changes. Even if you've already raised your kids and maybe you don't have a great relationship with them, you can change all of that. Bring it to the Lord. Like literally hand the whole situation. Hand the whole situation to the Lord. Ask him, how do we change this? How do I change my heart? You don't want to say, how is he going to change, right? You can't, that's not for you to know. But what you need to know between you and the Lord is how you can change. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important. So how can my heart soften towards them? How can my heart, you know, because maybe someone has rejected you, your child, and nothing could hurt worse than that. That would be awful. Mm. But how do I deal with this, Father? Show me how I deal with it. Show me how I can move on and have a relationship with my child. So Anyway, that is all of today. And we are going to come back next week.
I'm going to say it, and then she just tells me.
No, go ahead.
That's it. I'm good. I'm fine. No, I'm good. Because we do have to run. But guys, listen, don't forget it is about sacrifice. It's about putting you not second, but third. Jesus, the kids, then you. You're third.
Right.
And so your kids are gifts. They're gifts from the Lord. Even if you've had bad relationships up until this point, it is still not too late to change. It'll be a little harder, but listen, I'd rather go through a little bit of hard time now than have it be miserable and hard and for the rest of my life. If you need to make a change now, make that change. You know why? Because everything's just going to get better for you and your child. Your family's going to get stronger. The family tree you're building is going to get better. And you will come out on top as a result. Okay. Yeah.
All right, you guys, we'll see you next week on Heartbeat. Have a wonderful week and weekend.
All right, guys. See you later.
Bye-bye.